Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 24, 2020. Greater and greater mutual guarantee. There is no more important action than the practical implementation of mutual guarantee. In this aspect, it is necessary to consider any state, the entire process we go through and its final result. Every moment of life should be directed toward a single goal, toward more and more approximation to the concept of mutual guarantee. And if we establish this correctly, we will immediately see how our whole life takes on a completely different color, and all problems, including the crisis caused by the coronavirus, disappear one by one. After all, they come with one purpose, to awaken us to the mutual guarantee. Therefore, for any breakdown, small or large, there is only one way to fix it, only by strengthening our mutual guarantee. We should try to think about this every day, especially after the last Congress where we have already begun to build this mutual guarantee between us, and all the inhabitants of this world, and we will continue this path. The Creator does not exist until we build this concept through our union and mutual guarantee. And then He is revealed and begins to exist for us. The Creator is what unites us. If I treat the group as one whole in which there is no difference between us, then within this concept I begin to feel the Creator. The Creator is the power of unification that we can generate if we strive for unity and support. There is no Creator without creation. This power is the purpose of our union. We know in advance that there is such a state in which we are united together in mutual guarantee as one person. We turn to this state with prayer. We want to extract strength from it. This state already exists and lives because it is eternal. We only need to reveal it in practice. This is the difference between the mutual guarantee, which is still developing and changing between us, and the mutual guarantee that we strive to achieve as a result of our absolute unification. The mutual guarantee is the general law of the right connection between us. And the concept of the Creator is revealed when we really join each other as one. And then, within this unity, we comprehend the ideal of complete, perfect unification, which is called the Creator. We cannot achieve this complete connection with one jump, and therefore, there are 125 steps, 125 steps created by the upper light when spreading from top to bottom. Therefore, we have the opportunity, step by step, to achieve an ever greater degree of mutual guarantee between us, and, as a generalization of this state, with the Creator. One can only judge about the Creator within the Kli, and therefore, within the concept of a guarantee with the Creator is attained in a group. This means that all the work goes between us. A surety is a condition for the flow of life in a common body, metabolism, the flow of forces, lights, desires, a condition for life. And therefore there are no small and large in it. All nature acts according to the law of universal mutual guarantee, otherwise it could not exist. But this is an unconscious step, to which the natural instinct obliges. Whereas people who are above the inanimate, vegetative, and animate level are obliged to fulfill the law of mutual guarantee at the human level of their choice, through their efforts, prayer, and mutual assistance. From the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, August 18, 2020, Writings of Baal HaSulam, the Avot, Mutual Guarantee. Love will cover all crimes. Love will cover all transgressions. This means that day by day we will have to reveal new sins because without this it is impossible to advance. Selfishness is bound to develop more and more. The Creator only gave rise to creation by breaking the common soul of Adam HaRishon. From this, the evil inclination began to unfold, our great desire to receive pleasure, and we need to help this egoism open more and more so that it does not remain at the inanimate, vegetative, or animate level. But egoism can be revealed only in the opposite form. If we want to accelerate the disclosure of egoism, we must, on the contrary, strive to achieve unity. And if yesterday we did not come to a greater awareness of evil than the day before yesterday, then we did not strive for unity. Every day we tried to unite, and as a result, rejection will open up to us, for which we will ask for the power of correction so that love will cover all transgressions. And so we will continue to advance. It is necessary to reveal evil and attract good to it in order to cover all crimes with love. Without transgressions, there will be no union, there will be no correction of the kli. We must open all the cracks, all the breaking, in our union, in the vessel of the common soul of Adam HaRishon. And this is possible only when we strive to unite. First, we perform artificial actions, trying to achieve unification, but we see that the Creator does not allow us to unite. On the contrary, it reveals hatred and rejection between us. And this is the desired result, because crimes are being disclosed on top of which we can truly unite and cover them with love. But this is already with the help of a prayer to the Creator who will give us the power of unity. And so we come to correction. This is the work, we strive for good, and the Creator reveals evil to us, but we try to cover evil with good, and we turn to the Creator for help. These are the two actions, back and forth, corresponding to the four stages of the kli. You can imagine that we are sitting in a boat and rowing together, each with his own oar. Each does work in his own kli. He is drawn to union and sees that rejection awakens in its place. And then he makes a second movement, he turns to the Creator, asks for help, and sees how the Creator makes a row of paddles for him. He does not leave the Creator until he completes the action, covering all crimes, transgressions, with love. I do the first row with an oar, I try to connect with my friends and I see that I am not achieving what I want, but I am revealing negative qualities. And then I turn to the Creator and ask Him to correct this negative. And so we row all the time, 1-2, 1-2. The first one or two are mine, where nothing works for me, and the second one or two is done by the Creator and are already successful. It is said about this, the Creator will finish this work for me. The first time I tried to do and reveal the shortcomings, and the second time I turn to the Creator with these shortcomings and see a successful result. A ten sits in one boat, and each holds his paddle with both hands. The Gabai sits at the stern and cheers on the rowers, while the Shatz sits at the bow of the boat. And that's how we all go. The first paddle movement is to reveal a flaw. I want to connect with my friends, but I reveal that I am not capable of it. That is, the first time I try to do it myself and find out my impotence. But at the same time, I am aware of my failure, that is, I open the kli. And in the second stroke with the paddle, I already ask the Creator to help me and finish this work for me. This is the case every time, the first stroke is the revelation of the lack and the second stroke is the Creator's help. As a result, we advance in our boat, first making efforts to reveal evil, and then turning to the Creator for correction and revelation of the goodness. First of all, I must be grateful to the Creator and friends. After all, the goal of creation can be achieved only by tuning into the friends with closed eyes, if they want and can accept me. And the Creator must dissolve me in my friends, unite me with everyone without any distinction between us. Therefore, I am grateful to the Creator and the friends for the fact that they exist and give me the opportunity to join them, lose myself, and be born again, which is called going through the eye of a needle. Nothing remains of me except the net desire, which I drag through the eye of a needle, and so I move from world to world. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson August 17, 2020, love covers all transgressions. Where is the point in the heart? Where is the point in the heart? Is it a physical, sensory, or spiritual property? The point in the heart is a particle of the divine from above, a spark of the Creator's desire to receive pleasure, embedded into creation's desire to enjoy. Our whole heart is an egoistic desire to enjoy, and the point in the heart is the desire to bestow. And both exist by the grace of a higher power. We need to develop both the heart and the point in the heart, and start working with them so that the whole heart, that is, the desire to enjoy, performs actions according to the instructions of the point in the heart. This is called correction. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, July 27, 2020, Writings of Balha Sulam, The Freedom. New Life 1267. Leadership in the Coronavirus Era.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael.
Hello.
And today we'd like to talk about leadership in the Corona age. Today, leading, governing people, today people that are leaders of countries have a serious problem, they're perplexed, it's not easy. We'll try to understand the complicated relationship between leadership and the public in these times of distress.
Yeah,
difficult times. This is a multifaceted crisis that we're experiencing, economical, health, social. And like Owen said, I do not envy any leader that has to make decisions today and lead the public into this picture of uncertainty. We have no idea how does this virus really behave. We're sailing in stormy seas. We have no idea how the waves be. And in this situation, leadership has to govern the people. This is what the people are expecting, for the leadership to take them to better places. The question is, how should the attitude toward the public on part of leadership and taking care of the public be different in times of crisis than in our day-to-day ordinary life? Dr. Lightman, I don't know what you mean by routine. For me, according to what I understand, we're in a crisis for many years now. And that now people feel that they're losing their workplaces, that there is no normal supervision. It's a new state for the public. But really, I talked about this crisis even a few decades ago. Leaders did not see it coming. For them, this is too a new reality. Dr. Lightman, leaders today don't predict anything either. They expect of, you know, people that study and take care of the public, they do according to what they learned. I see it differently because I'm engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah. This is where I see it coming from. Yet, what I want to focus on is the connection between the public and its leaders. We have our normal day-to-day life, where I understand that back then already, it was possible, or people that studied the wisdom of Kabbalah could predict the things that are going on beneath the surface. Now, if we look at what's going on right now, this is a period like no other. We went through wars, through austerity, through many things, but something like this we haven't experienced yet, Dr. Lightman. But we talked about it, Owen, right? Owen, right. But it's not about what we said and what the wisdom of Kabbalah and how it sees things, but we're talking about public leadership. Dr. Lightman, they can't see anything. I'm not blaming them. But that's how an ordinary person from the public or even someone who is not superior can't see that. Owen, we're not blaming anyone. We're only trying to solve the problem. We're in a situation. Suppose the country of Israel, like all other countries, is in a situation now called the coronavirus era that breaks everything that we had up until now. In this reality, we have to take daily decisions about the social state, health issues, when should we make limitations, when should we relieve things, where do you do this, when do you do that. Someone has to manage all of this, which are the heads of state. Let's call them leadership. They understand more, they understand less. This is the leadership that we have, and this is what we have to work with. Now, the state of Israel went through wars, several very hard wars. We cry together. We experience austerity together. My father used to tell me how they had to give food to their neighbors, to friends, things like this, like that. Things that seem from fairy tales, but it happened here in this country, and somehow we overcame it. Today, we're in a state, I don't even know how to call it. Is there something that leadership today can learn from previous leaders that lived in this country in order to better deal with this crisis? We're not yet in the same states as they've been in. Where do you see today people that can't get bread? I think that there's no such person that really doesn't have bread at home, maybe a few vegetables for himself or his family, that he really doesn't have it. He'll go and nonetheless find. Even on the street he'll find it. He'll go to different places, shops. There are people that hand out food, establishments. We know that that's how it is, but not like back then. Therefore, we can't compare the corona state with the state of austerity that we had. Their people couldn't meet their basic needs. They didn't have food. Today, it's more about stress, uncertainty. That the current situation doesn't feel pleasant, doesn't feel good. It's a bit more because people are more pampered. Yael, and what challenges do leaders face? Dr. Leitman, leaders have to tell people the truth. First of all, they themselves have to see the truth, and I hope that they do. But if they don't, we can tell them that 80% of the people will not have work. They simply won't. And they will have to sit at home and to work on, to learn the method of connection, to work on their connection. This is what nature is demanding of us, to be connected between us and with nature. We have to go back to the integral mechanism, to the mechanism of Adam HaRishon, where we are as one man and one heart. Yael, meaning what? Dr. Leitman, where we all are interdependent, helping each other in order to be friends, to be good toward each other, to be as one man, one heart. Yael, so leadership should see that the crisis is growing and to tell the truth that we're going toward worse times than now. Dr. Leitman, I don't want to say worse times, worse how? If we won't want to accept the plan of nature, things are going to be hard. But if we do, things are going to be nice and easy. Yael, suppose you can give the government a plan that can really, that based on this plan, they could lead the public to a better, safer place. Dr. Leitman, there is a need for national education, and I'm talking about this at least for the past 30 years. Oh, and a plan for national education, what does that mean, Dr. Leitman? To teach the people that they have to be eventually as one man and one heart, to connect to that, to know how to overcome the gap, the mutual rejection, the rift that exists between people, how to better connect. This is something that the public really has to understand, grasp, realize. Owen, suppose you see that in upcoming years unemployment is going to surge more and more. Previously you said a number that I don't even want to repeat. Suppose you're a leader looking into the future, seeing where is everything headed. The public that you're leading don't see this picture right now. This isn't their reality. All their hopes are in the opposite direction, that unemployment will decrease and they'll go back to their life. Now, you as a leader have a problem. You said that the first principle, the first challenge of leadership is, first of all, to tell people the truth. Dr. Leitman, slowly, like to a baby, I'm not telling you, this isn't what I meant. Oh, and explain, please, Dr. Leitman. Suppose today you have to explain to taxi drivers that in 2 years, there will be no more taxi drivers. Everything's going to be autonomous cars. How do you explain this to them? And if you explain or don't, will they take to the streets for you to do something? Can they stop this trend? It's like you'd explain that we are not going to allow computers to enter every home. You can't. There's a process that has to happen. In this process, and we're seeing this now, that everything's artificial. Whatever we do won't bring things back. It's not a virus, but that's the trend, where we're getting rid of different unnecessary works that are needless in the new society. They're needless. We see it. People are also losing the desire for it, the taste. You don't need all these boutiques. It's not that I'm against it. I'm talking about society that's developing. It needs all of these things less and less. All of these artificial things that were made in order to make money. Society is losing the taste for these things. Look at the younger generation. What do they need? They need sneakers. Some t-shirt, a rag, and that's it? Oh, and my children have beautiful clothes in their closet that are in their closet that they never wore since then. Dr. Leitman, so you're a dinosaur. Great. Yael, you describe the situation as is, and people are starting to feel that maybe it's redundant, that, okay, maybe we don't need it. Something is calming down in that section. Along with this, we're still in a crisis of uncertainty, and we do expect leadership to lead us someplace. So what is the role of leadership? What is it supposed to lead us to, and how? Another thing is, what does the public need to do in this state? How should it relate to the leadership? And what does the public itself have to do? Dr. Leitman, it all has to come together. Leadership and the public and everything, they have to work together. We are in a crisis that catches everyone, starting with president and down to the last person. We have to understand that this is the direction in which nature is going, and that we have to keep it. Let's try and do that. The direction of nature is simple, that we will not be able to further deplete our planet, burn different fuels, do different works that aren't necessary. Oh, and by the way, why are you so sure about this? We've been talking about this for the past 20, 30 years and nothing changed. Okay, so there's a hybrid car, less polluting. My neighbor has an electric car. It doesn't pollute at all. Why do you feel that today, in the age of corona, like nature is signaling us that we have to calm everything down in terms of the way we use nature? Dr. Lightman, to calm man down, to stop depleting nature in different ways, hybrid, not hybrid, for a person to calm down, that he has different work to do. Different work, which is how to connect with each other in a way that we build a new humanity.
Yeah,
what is the role of leaders, Dr. Lightman? A leader has to set an example of how to treat other people and nature in this new era. He has to now launch a plan of national education so that everyone from morning till evening will have the opportunity to learn how to be a correct human being in order to succeed, in order to profit in the new era in which you don't have work like you did before. But there will be different kind of work. What kind? Social kinds of work. Working on our connection. So we're headed toward a period where economy has to shift, or the world of labor has to be directed towards this, that we have to train people. Dr. Lightman, we have to teach people how to connect, Yael, which means what? Dr. Lightman, you attribute zero importance to it, but it is actually what is 100% important. Yeah, so what is education for connection? Dr. Lightman, how are we supposed to be connected in order to be a society that is in an integral and global nature in equivalence of form with the global and integral nature, that society will not be opposed to nature, but that nature will accept humanity nicely, in a good way, so that we won't feel that there's some kind of virus working against us. But it all depends on our relations and the relations between us and nature. Oh, and what kind of relations should people work on in order to be connected to nature in a good way instead of getting blows like the corona? Dr. Lightman, you know this also from the Torah or from other places, to be connected as one man and one heart, where all of Israel are friends, to show the entire world what is the method of connection for human society. This is something that we have to do. Oh, and so you're saying that the role of leadership is to look ahead and to start working our way through from where we are. On the horizon is the connection between people, where they're connected to nature, and that's why everyone's well off. Now, after we've depicted this pretty picture, Now you're saying that there has to be a national plan of how do we come closer to that state. Now the first thing is that a leader has to set an example. What kind of example should leadership set? Dr. Leitman, that it supports this national plan, educational plan, that in its eyes, it's also the most important thing to build a new human being in this new era. Owen, and what is a new leader? Dr. Leitman, that supports it all. Owen, how does he relate to other leaders around him? Dr. Leitman, he wants to pull them to the same task. Owen, but you know, in the leadership of any country, every country has a leadership, and leadership consists of opposing forces. Now, these opposing forces are opposed. So how should a leadership work in order to be more suited for the connected world? Dr. Leitman, they have to show the entire world and all countries and all people and all nations that they support connection between everyone. Owen, and what about the relations in the system of leadership? Dr. Leitman, love covers all crimes. They have to show this inclination. Owen, toward what? Dr. Leitman, rising above, connecting above the differences. Oh, and usually these disputes are as a result of the ego. Dr. Leitman, there's just one thing here. There's nature, or in Gematria, it's the creator in Hebrew. Doesn't matter. It determines what has to happen to people. People, they don't have a say here. Owen, okay. Today in every country, there is a dispute in leadership that on the one hand we have to keep public health and we see that we're failing in this regard. People are becoming more and more people are becoming infected. On the other hand, we can't paralyze the country. From these two extremes, and you can find leaders that are on the one side and leaders on the other side, but eventually the public is one that has to get guidelines from their leadership. How are leaders supposed to deal with these two extremes? Health on the one side, freedom on the other. How does leadership deal with these very practical disputes? You think this, I think that, but the public is one. And eventually they have to get instructions. I can't solve this, Dr. Leib, you can solve it. All in truth? Dr. Leitman, of course, in this kind of approach, of course, it's you can't solve anything. They have to rise above their narrow ego. They have to understand that there is a program in nature. And it is what's right, this program, and it controls, and not the one opinion of the leaders or another opinion of the leaders that all comes from the narrow ego of each of them who wants to be in power, not even understanding that his entire desire, their contradicting desires are a result of their desire to be in power. They don't even understand that. They think that, yeah, we're justfully doing it to the benefit of people. But this is where it comes from. We have to learn what does nature want of us. And this is what we have to keep and realize. And nature wants just one thing. Connection. Not according to what one leader says or the other leader says. Not according to these two ends. But upon all of this, love covers all crimes. Owen, what are these crimes that you're talking about? If the leader is corrupt, let's throw him in jail, Dr. Leitman. No, crimes meaning that everyone's working with their ego toward others. Oh, and that people see only out of their own interest? Dr. Leitman, yeah. Oh, and so what does the public do? When the public sees that the leaders are only interested in their own interest, they lose faith in the leadership. Dr. Leitman, of course, that's already gone. That ship has sailed. Oh, and so what does the public do? Dr. Leitman, nothing. Go out and go and hang out on the streets. Oh, and there are those that do, and there are people that are still didn't come out since the last quarantine. Today I have everything. In everything there are extremes, but still we have to run a country here, a society. There have to come instructions from leadership to the public. How do we start restoring this mechanism? Dr. Leitman, according to national education of love covers all crimes and only, you can't do anything else. You can't take one leader and on the other side another leader, but there has to be someone between them that will force them to work together. Yeah, so it also has to be, the leadership has to be educated in parallel to the education that the public has to get. We all have to enter this kind of national education system, Dr. Leitman. All true. Yael, jumping a few years forward, we've all gone through this educational system. What are the right ties, connection between the leadership and the public in that state? Dr. Leitman, leadership understands the public understands the leadership, and between them there's peace and tranquility and mutual understanding. Yeah, what kind of support does the public have to give leadership? Dr. Leitman, they go with it. Oh, and how come, Dr. Leitman? Because leadership keeps things according to the laws of nature. Only nature can be above us. Not one or the other, and you can bring another 1,000 who and whatever. Only according to the laws of nature.
Oh, and
our time's up. Can you summarize what's the most important thing about leadership in the time of Corona? Dr. Leitman, leadership in the time of Corona has to know what the wisdom of Kabbalah says, having to give the public, helping them to keep the laws of nature, where love covers all crimes, having to give public an example of how to do it. Owen, thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
Medium published my new article Save Our Home, Planet Earth. Entire neighborhoods are engulfed in fire, thousands have been evacuated from their homes in California. A historic and unusual summer thunderstorm and rare massive lightning strikes combined with record-breaking heat ignited devastating fires across the Golden State. Death Valley reported temperatures of 130 degrees Fahrenheit in what is believed to be the highest temperature ever measured on Earth, and this is attributed to climate change. Other natural disasters around the globe endanger our very existence. What is nature trying to tell us? Its message is clear. We are unwanted guests on this planet unless we humans change. Other natural disasters around the globe endanger our very existence. What is nature trying to tell us? Its message is clear. We are unwanted guests on this planet unless we humans change. Global warming not only causes blazes, agricultural problems, water shortages and puts certain species at risk of extinction, It is also blamed for glaciers melting away in Greenland and other locations to the point of no return, dangerously raising sea levels. It is said that there are actions we can take to tackle global warming, such as reducing gas emissions from the industrial sector, but there are so many economic and personal interests that very little is actually done. If the ecosystem continues deteriorating at such a fast pace, half of humanity may become extinct, and the half that will survive will have to change its way of life from end to end. Continuing our business as usual approach despite Earth's outcry is extremely dangerous. Man is a very delicate creature. We need so many conditions to live and so many factors affect us: earthquakes, storms, plagues. The problems we face are global in scope, therefore, solutions require global thinking. Yes, thinking. Everything starts with our thoughts. People think only of themselves, of what is bothering them today and what may produce big profits. Moreover, international organizations, which are supposed to safeguard our planet, fail the test over and over again. Every country is busy developing weapons and economic power, fighting others in all sorts of arenas and thinking that this is how control will be gained. If an ecological disaster does not affect us directly, we do not care. We have not realized yet that our planet is our common home and whatever happens within it has an endless chain of reactions which will eventually affect us. Someday, we will have to understand that the problems begin with the selfish nature of man, who operates from an individualistic, me-centered, exploitative and narrow vision that wants to keep everything for himself. Until we transcend individual and national borders and start thinking globally, nothing will help. Sometimes it's the turn of certain countries to undergo natural disasters, and then it's the turn of other countries. But overall, there will be no place on Earth that will not face problems. The coronavirus is the first global disaster, with many others waiting in the wings, if necessary. It is nature's way of making us feel on our own skin that we are all part of one system. The destructive fires burn between us. Ecological calamities make people believe that nature has gone crazy. This is not the case. It simply behaves according to the laws of cause and effect of the integral system in which we live, a system that ties all the details of reality together. What happens inside the Earth, on its surface, and in the whole universe is linked and interconnected because nature is one. Humans, for our part, need to comprehend that the state of nature depends on the relationships between human beings, and on the willingness of man to adapt to the integrality of nature, that is, taking only what is necessary for survival and caring for the good functioning of the entire system, instead of considering only egoistic calculations. How are human relationships and what happens in nature related? There are four levels in nature: inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human. All but man exists in accordance with nature's laws of reciprocity and balance. The other levels have no free choice in anything, they act instinctively, taking only what is needed for their survival. Conversely, the human level is the only one that commits atrocities on Earth and does so intentionally, consciously, for the sake of causing harm. Thus, all the negative reactions we receive from nature are just a consequence of our actions. Simply put, we bring these blows upon ourselves. As of today, humanity does not have an agreed-upon plan to save the planet, and we are just putting out fires instead. And the truth is that the most destructive fires we must put out are those burning within us, in our mutual relations. The ego of man has nearly reached the flashpoint, burns nature just to exploit everything to his advantage. If we try to build a harmonious system of human relations, all of nature will calm down. The comprehensive solution to the ecological and social dangers we face lies in efforts toward global connection, in which we will feel how dependent we are on everyone. Therefore, we will think twice before engaging in ill treatment of one another. Thus, only through mutual responsibility will we attain the right frame of mind to save our common home and live safely and happily under one roof, our planet. My article in Newsmax, Progressives and Conservatives, a Reluctant Interdependency. From protest to counter-protest, to counter-counter-protest, we're going nowhere. Nothing will come out of any of them except intensifying hatred to the point of breakdown. We can keep blaming one another for all our troubles and feel good about ourselves, but righteous indignation never got anyone anywhere good. Unless we acknowledge the simple fact that hatred leads to more hatred, which eventually leads to death, we will end up in bloodshed. Weber built a society that doesn't intend to achieve unity, where each one must sympathize with a certain viewpoint, party, ideology, school, etc., and part of that sympathy is expressed in refuting the other side's merit at growing intensity. Today, that repudiation has come to a level where each side thinks that the other side is a danger to the nation, a peril to the country, to democracy, to the rule of law, to freedom of speech, and must therefore cease to exist. When you build a society where merit is on the side with the most strength, the side that's currently on top, you sentence yourself to live by the sword and die by the sword, or the bullet. The reason for the downfall of every great nation since the dawn of history has been just that: its rulers deemed only their own perspectives worthy, and denied the merit of any other viewpoint. But contrary to common belief, when you extinguish your rival, you don't rest on your laurels, you sentence yourself to extinction. Each of us thinks that he or she is right. This is our nature: I think so, therefore I am right, to paraphrase Descartes' words. But we forget that we're all made of the same stuff. The same program that designed, molded and generated me, designed, molded and generated everyone else. The program, known as nature, designed us, all slightly different, not so we would fight each other to death, but so we would complete the picture together. Nature needs all its facets, and especially the most extreme opposites, in order to define and express all its subtleties. You wouldn't be able to define day in the absence of night, cold in the absence of hot, love in the absence of hate, and life in the absence of death. Likewise, you wouldn't be able to define progressive in the absence of conservative, or faithful in the absence of agnostic. Our opposites are vital to us, because without them, we cannot know who we are or even articulate our thoughts about ourselves. It turns out that we are dependent on all the ones that we detest, despise and demonize, because without them, we ourselves would not exist as human beings. We're living in a dual system through and through. But there is a good reason for the perpetual descent: it forces us to turn our attention to the common program that created us, to nature. Nature is completeness that's made of united opposites. When we think of unity, we think of the closeness of hearts and minds. But this is not unity, it is sameness. And just as you don't unite with your own reflection in the mirror, you don't unite with someone who resembles you in every way. You feel close to that person, but it's not because you are united, it's because you are similar. This may feel good, but it leads to stagnation and eventual decadence. To achieve growth, there must be two opposites that challenge one another. Therefore, unity is the joint effort of two opposites to bond with one another despite their initial animosity. Their oppositeness cannot, and must not be erased, or it will become sameness. To unite, the two sides must value each other's existence, since without the other party, neither would exist. And that appreciation creates a new kind of closeness that exists alongside the animosity. Also, the two parties must appreciate their unity more than their inherent animosity, or they will revert back to mutual destruction. King Solomon put it succinctly in his immortal words: "Hate stirs strife, and love will cover all crimes." Prof. 10:12. It is very easy to fall prey to hate. Hating feels great. There aren't many emotions more satisfying than self-righteousness. But we must always remember that it is a bait we must not bite into. If we do, we will fall into decadence and disintegrate. If we resist the temptation to hate, and acknowledge that the other side exists so as to turn our attention to the nature that created both of us, we will connect to that nature and realize our full potential as human beings. Medium published my new article Cancel Culture or Learning to Accept One Another. Should we cancel people and their ideas if we do not agree with them? This has become the dilemma of our era. The so-called cancel culture, which consists in removing support for public figures for their opinions or actions, is already a trend invading the internet. At times when the lives of all revolve around the same struggles and challenges, what we need to cancel are our divisions. Instead, we need to embrace our differences and create an environment of acceptance. Our common destiny is at stake. Human society continues to deteriorate, and we need to understand that our salvation from this situation can only come through learning how to treat each other properly. Public backlash against celebrities, scholars, scientists, public persons or companies for something they expressed that might be considered offensive, this is the new norm on social media. No one is exempted from such calls to end their careers or to receive other punishments, even to the point of total boycott if their views don't please certain sectors. Where does the freedom of expression end and freedom to cancel others begin? We live in a time when our ego, our self-centered vision, breaks every boundary, lacks any restraint or control. The ego does not want to hear others out or consider differing views. It is unwilling to discuss facts or controversial issues in a civilized way. In other words, we have no interest in forming a common idea, meeting halfway, or even a fraction of it, to find common ground. The ego does not give up easily, because what matters to us is our own point of view. This is the only truth. The abolition of the other has penetrated so deeply into modern society that there is no chance of agreement, of a civilized exchange of ideas, or of a fruitful and enriching discourse. It is very unfortunate to see how far we have drifted from the culture of discussion, how far we are from openness, and how close to stubbornness. I will reign is the call of the hour. The tendency to cancel others is also commonly witnessed on TV talk shows and round tables. The guests shriek out their little sound bites as fast as they can, because otherwise, others will not let them be heard at all. Expressing opinions louder, sharper, faster than the other is encouraged. Logic no longer matters, and there is no longer any interest in the content of things. Public intimidation or collective social vigilance? Cancel culture promoters see it as a useful tool to preserve acceptable parameters of social justice, but how can society judge based on objective standards if its own perspective is biased and founded on a narrow-minded vision? A balanced dialogue can only be guaranteed when we learn how to communicate and listen to one another, not through intimidation but through receptiveness. This does not mean that there is a need to undo anything, nor to give up any opinion. All that we need is to learn how to arrange the arguments and confrontations so that they are delivered without grating on nerves. In whatever topic of interest, we need to hold a conversation directed to the benefit of the public and the world instead of a fight. If we speak from the intention to help, we will not bring each other down, but we will look together for the right path. We need to discover within every meeting a path to move forward to a better and more considerate world for all. Please don't mistake this for adopting an artificial politeness, because pleasant manners today are no match for the rising egos of tomorrow. The new mode of communication should be based on building our inner abilities to connect with others. This means changing our intention and our way of thinking, for the benefit and progress of others rather than to belittle and exploit them. Human society continues to deteriorate, and we need to understand that our salvation from this situation can only come through learning how to treat each other properly. In the end, the only behavior we need to cancel is our mutual cancellation. This is all that separates us. When we reach such awareness and exert to come to mutual understanding, our society will be a much more pleasant place to live. The Germans of the Laws of Moses, Part 1. Historical Paradox. Question. In 1871, Germany was unified and Jews were granted rights. Their entry into German society and the establishment of the Second Reich was a new stage in the assimilation of Jews. One of the most powerful figures of Jewish origin was industrialist Walter Rathenau, who became the German foreign minister, and he organized the war economy that empowered the military of the Third Reich. He proclaimed, "My religion is that Germanic faith which is above all religions." The more Jews tried to be German, the more it turned against them. After losing World War I in 1918, the Germans came to the conclusion that it was not external forces that had defeated Germany, but the internal treachery of the communists and Jews. Why is it that the more Jews try to prove their patriotism, the more they are hated? Answer: this is natural. This paradox exists at all times because the Jewish nation consists of two roots. Their animal root wants to be in solidarity with and dissolve in all the peoples of the world, and the spiritual root demands to be realized, although they suppress it. It turns out that Jews exist on two completely different planes. In an effort to physically assimilate with the people in whose midst they live, in this case the German people, they adopted its culture, made a huge contribution to its development, and were unwilling to see how much they were disliked, hated, rebelled, and despised. There were a great number of Jews in the army, science, philosophy, finance, and politics who participated in the revival of Germany. Moreover, note that Germany, strangely enough, unlike the rest of Western Europe, was divided into separate municipalities and counties that were unfriendly toward each other. Perhaps the question of how much the Jews contributed to the unification of Germanic lands in the 19th century has not yet been fully investigated. As a result, by the end of the 19th century, Germany declared itself unified. For more on this topic, read my book The Jewish Choice: Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. From CabTV's Systematic Analysis of the Development of the People of Israel, August 12, 2019. New Life 1268. Concern for Social Issues in Israel.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Dr. Leitman, hello, everyone. Owen. And today we'd like to talk about concern for social issues in Israel. Dr. Leitman, looking at our country and what's going on here for the past decades, from the very first moment we are under existential threat. On all of our borders we have enemies that want to eat us, and our need to survive put security issues at the top of our priorities, at the top of the list of our priorities. And some people say that as a result, we neglected all social issues. For example, there are many things in the Israeli society that aren't that great. Elderly people, ill, many, many poor people. There is research that says that 1.8 million people in Israel are poor. The social workers are in a bad state. There are so many fields that seem to be neglected. The first question is, in your eyes, is the reason for the social issues in Israel being always felt that they're not at the top of our priority list, is because security issues bother us more and this is what we direct all funds to, or are there other reasons too? Dr. Leitman, well, concern for our security, we can of course say that it puts aside all other concerns.
It's
possible, but I also don't think that this is why we can tell ourselves that we allow us to tell ourselves that we're neglecting all the social works and so on. No, I don't think so. It seems to me that concern for security, concern for the army, is what keeps our society together. Keeps our nation together, the country. Were it not for that, we'd fall apart a long time ago. Oren, how does that or how can it affect if we put more focus on social issues? Dr. Leitman, the problem is that if you want to focus on social issues, you have to educate the people. You can't throw to the public different slogans like thieves, corrupted, these are bad, those are bad. The public has to be ready to digest all of its problems seriously in a normal way, in a settled down way. And this is something that we don't have. We don't have the right education. We don't give the people the right education. Especially we don't understand that the Jewish people is not an ordinary people. Israel is not a regular nation like we see from history. It's not like any other nation. Owen, my grandfather, he came from Yemen, and he had many children. And in addition to the children that they had, they adopted another child because he was an orphan. This was in Yemen, and then they immigrated with him to Israel. And as I grew up, he was a part of the family. It was clear to me that he's not one of the brothers, but that he's a part of the family. And I asked, how is it that he's such a close part of the family? And I was told that when he was still a little boy, he was adopted, and they came with him to Israel, and so on. What I want to say is that, looking at myself today, I'm a father of four. I don't know if, let's put it this way, I wouldn't do that, ever. I can donate to charity organizations that take care of orphans, anyone needy, but to such a level where I will feel a personal responsibility for someone in the community that life, so to speak, screwed him, no. Why am I giving this as an example? Because this is my question. If we look at how things were when they, how this nation was when they lived in the diaspora, the community life, the solidarity, the feeling of responsibility for everyone, it was embedded in our DNA, in the DNA of our nation. And this is what I think kept us as a nation. When came here, it kind of disintegrated. What happened here in Israel? Dr. Leitman, what happened? You didn't bring from Yemen the spirit of the nation. What happened here is that this spirit, when it was built, the nation, when it was built here, it was built by socialists that came from Russia, that built a kolkhoz, that built different such companies and societies that the main thing is that they're under control, like Mapai, like all these. We will hold everything in our hands and won't give anything to anyone. As you understand, they did not think about the people in any way, but they thought about how to be in control, how to be in power. To begin with, there was a struggle between these and those. What I'll have to tell you about what happened even before the establishment of the State of Israel and afterwards, the spirit they brought with them isn't the spirit of Yemen. Oh, and to this day in Israel, the third sector, the different charities, there's so many of them. There's so many things in life that we became used to these things existing, but it's not things that are provided by the country, by the government, but it's due to the goodwill of people. There are many charities that help people. But when you think about it, what is a charity? It's not something established by a country, but it's people that build it out of their own desire. People, they raise their children to volunteer for the community, for this, for that. There's something very unique about this nation. I was in many places around the world. I never saw such warmth between people, so there's a gap. As if the government is, or the governmental institutions are doing their thing. I'm not criticizing, I'm only saying. And the public is engaged a lot in charity, contribution. Why is there such a gap between what we feel in our hearts as individuals and what the country expresses? Dr. Leitman, because we are far from our ideals. We're not the Jews the way Jews should be. We're completely under the manners of the nations of the world. And if there is something that kind of belongs to our principal DNA, then it's somewhere there, it exists, but usually barely exists. And also when it exists because we hate it. But were there not such an attitude from the nations of the world towards us, you'd see no Jew with a warm heart today that's any different than any other person in the world. Oh, and we're living in the times of the corona, and I think that the most special thing is that it suddenly took social issues and put them on the table at the front. Do you think that this will change our behavior as a country? Will we start taking care of the social issues that we've neglected so far under the pressure of life? Maybe they'll come to the top of the list of priorities. Dr. Leitman, I really hope so. I do. I really hope that we will go through such turmoils that we will simply start playing politics and our relations, and that we will put social connection as the main thing that determines everything. That we won't have 30 different parties and every 6 months we'll have elections. And in general, I hope that the nation will grow, that it will become more mature. In the meantime, I don't see that. Owen previously talked about the spirit of the nation. What kind of spirit has to evolve in the nation so that social issues will get the attention that they should? The care and concern, what kind of spirit? Dr. Leitman, unity above all differences. For sure, each of us is not even in peace with himself, so all the more with others. Owen, what do you mean? Dr. Leitman, I mean that this is how we're built. Everyone has a big will to receive. Their ego is big. Everyone thinks that they can be the prime minister. And therefore, it's our problem on the one hand. On the other hand, we can't rise above our ego, above this demand of ours, this inclination. We can't rise above all of this in order to really reach a state where we have to be as one man and one heart. That the connection between us has to be above the force of separation. There are two forces in us, separation and connection, and connection all the time has to be in our struggle, more important than the separation. Owen, okay, the force of separation, does it characterize a Jew? Why am I asking? I'm asking this out of sorrow. Previously, I gave an example of how things were in Yemen, today in Israel. I'm saying this with pain. Suppose I lived in a village, the first village established by immigrants from Yemen in 1933. There were two synagogues in our village. Why two? This is how it always is. The force of separation. Does it characterize Jews, this force that one way or another it's always there? Dr. Leitman, it says that you need two synagogues for one Jew, the one that he goes to and the other that he doesn't. Oh, and is it really so? Dr. Leitman, look, we have an enormous ego. It's very conspicuous compared to the egoistic desire of any other nation, any other person. Even though that on the one hand, by this, we can become conspicuous, we can stand out in different achievements, and in science, education, and culture, and whatnot. Jews are known for it on the one hand. On the other hand, We can't live peacefully with each other. Oh, and this is about the force of separation. The other force is the force of connection. What is it? Dr. Leitman, the force of connection acts only at time of war, fear, threat, and therefore, thank God we have neighbors that thanks to them actually, our country exists. We're holding together. Were it not for them, we'd disintegrate, would run, flee in all directions. Oh, and you said that the force of connection has to be above the force of separation. What does it mean to be above? What kind of dualism is there here? Dr. Leitman, that they have to more or less be balanced. The force of separation, the force of connection. Because we can't exist without the force of separation. Owen, why? Why can't we? Dr. Leitman, because connection can exist only upon separation. Owen, I don't understand. Dr. Leitman, there can't be love without hate, because love covers for all crimes, only this way. Only the problem of the Jewish people is for us to be balanced all the time, to prefer connection over separation, love over hate, but for us to understand that separation, love, hate, all the contradicting traits in our character, they all have to exist. We only have to rise above them. Oh, and today, in the time of Corona, there is a very strong feeling of fear. I think that this is the most common denominator, not only in terms of health, but there's lots of separation, everyone pulling in their direction. What does it mean about such a reality to add the force of connection? And how is it supposed to be expressed socially wise? Dr. Leitman, if you ask me, if I could bring the method of connection to the people to persuade them that this is the only thing that we need to develop, then I do it. But you understand that the media, it's all, everything there is fixed, everything's a lie, stinky, and therefore something that we can't go into. Oh, and feeling concern for others is something that has to develop from the public, to come from the public, or from the government, from the... who do you hang your hopes on? Dr. Leitman, I don't think that the regime can take care of this. It all has to be a social kind of concern that this is the education that people should receive, should get. It doesn't have to do with a country. Oh, and so it turns out that the situation today is okay. The country takes care of different things, and the public creates different charities that contribute to the public, that gives an answer to plenty of things that the government or the state doesn't give an answer to. Oh, and in what direction should this go in, Dr. Lightman? That those organizations that are there in order to unite the public, for them to get greater and greater support, and for them to also have the ability to express themselves through the media. Our problem is that our media is bought by the rich. To the different NGOs, that charities, that when you talked about the spirit of the nation, what kind of social feeling should develop among the nation? Dr. Lightman, that we have to be united, that we have to be as one man and one heart. Oh, and why do we have to? Dr. Lightman, it's the law of nature, and we shouldn't resist it. Oh, and what's the law, Dr. Lightman, that all of Israel are one, all of Israel are friends? This is the example that we have to show the world in order to come together as one man and one heart, that eventually all of humanity has to come to that. Oh, and so there's a law that all of Israel are friends. If we don't see that state today, what does it say about us, about the people of Israel? Not everyone are friends, Dr. Lightman. So we're against the law of nature. We suffer accordingly, and we're not succeeding in many things. Oh, and is there a law of nature in nature that says that all Frenchmen are friends? Dr. Lightman, there's a law in nature that says that the still, vegetative, animate, and people, everything has to be a part of one system, and what determines the relations in this system are the Jewish people, are the people of Israel. Well, and globally, Dr. Lightman, yes, because we are that central part in humanity that has to set an example to everyone. Well, and okay, suppose we advance in the direction that you're talking about, and there will be some kind of heartly connection between people. As you said, the voice of connection will cover for all disputes and so on. But how will we still take care of things like health, education, welfare, Dr. Lightman, that will try to educate every person so much so that he will see that he is ready to work to the benefit of others, and this will be the gist of his work. Dr. Owen, why should that be the motivating force? Why should a person want to work to the benefit of others? Dr. Lightman, because by that, he benefits himself. By that, he causes good to the world. And this goes to everyone. Well, and why doesn't a person see that if he does good to others, it does good to him?
Dr.
Lightman, in order for him to have free choice, that he won't do it because he has to, but because he has no choice, otherwise he will die. So he has to relate to others nicely, in a good and nice way, and even against his own desire. And against that, Owen, that's beautiful, this process that you're talking about. Nature as if leaves room for us here to develop ourselves, Dr. Leighton. Of course, furthermore, that by that you rise higher than nature, than the still, the vegetative, and the animate. You become a human being. You, in our world, determine a force of good. You introduce a beneficial good force of love and connection. You introduce it into the world, something that does not exist in our world. Oh, and why does it not exist in our world? Dr. Lightman, doesn't exist on the level of people. Exists in plus and minus between substances. And the vegetative, which is absorption and emission on the animate level somehow, relatively. But on the human level, doesn't exist at all. Oh, and why not? Dr. Lightman, because our ego on the levels of the still, vegetative, and the animate grows more and more, controls, and does not allow us to treat each other favorably. Colin, what do we need in order to treat each other favorably, Dr. Lightman, to feel that we really depend on each other? Colin, do we really depend on each other? Are we really interdependent, Dr. Lightman? Completely. If the other will be well off, so will I, and I don't see that. So God forbid, I'm willing to harm the other. And indirectly, I harm myself. Olin, what should a person feel in his heart so that his heart will be softer and will open up and he'll look at someone that's suffering and he'll want to help him as if it's his own child, emotionally wise? What's missing? Dr. Lakin, what's missing? That I want it, that I care for it, that I want to rise above my ego. It's a kind of an awakening that has to come from above. If we'll do that between us, then everyone will feel that there is such a force from above that is demanding it of us. Owen, we have a minute and a half left. How should this, or what should this country be like, where our heart will be a bit softer and the force of connection will spread and the spirit of the nation will soar? Socially wise, what kind of country will it be? Dr. Lightman, we have to give each other an example, even though that we don't feel like it and as if we don't need to. But you see, our problems push us to do it. The problems, troubles are pushing us to develop this way in a kind of mutuality. And if we start developing toward each other, for sure we'll reach a state where we will feel a good result. Owen, can you give me one practical advice, homework? How can we start lifting the spirit of the nation? Dr. Lightman, to understand that we have to be in a single system, mutually interconnected, interdependent, supporting each other, and not only we, but we also have to do this in order to show this as an example to the rest of the world, which means to be light onto the nations. Owen, are you an optimist? Dr. Lightman, will try to do it, whether we want it or not, maybe at first under suffering, but then willingly or immediately willingly, depending on... Do we want to hear these words? Owen, with God's help, thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
holding on to the teacher. Question: what does it mean to hold on to the teacher and to feel him, and what does it mean to receive the light through the teacher? Answer: to hold on to the teacher and to feel the teacher are two different things. To hold on to the teacher means to try to do everything he advises you to do, to learn everything that he teaches you. You can hold on to the teacher only if you fulfill all his requirements and help him, even perhaps in his daily life, but mainly in the process of the study and dissemination. Dedicate yourself to serving not the person, but what he represents, and then you will discover that this is how you begin to attain the upper world. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, September 16, 2018. Feel the world through others. Question: from your point of view, is there such a thing as an objective opinion? Or is it always subjective? Answer: yes, opinions are always subjective. But if we change ourselves, then in this way we will change our opinion and the world we are in. Question: do you know any techniques that allow you to read a person's mind? Do you think this is possible? Answer: this is possible only if I can really work on myself in such a way that, as it were, I become a different person. That is, when I contact him, I transfer myself to his state, or as if copying it onto myself, and thus I can determine his thoughts and desires. But this is not an easy job. To do this, I must constantly annul myself before him and try to really put on him. In this case, I no longer read his mind, but my own. Putting on the other, accepting him as something better than myself, I begin to feel the world as if through him. From Cab TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, May 7, 2020.